It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for September 2nd. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and I'm here today to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 25 live feeds. And if you want to protect your sanity, you might want to avoid this one because this house is just a black hole of everything.
A black hole of indecision.
Indecision and bad decision. So with me to talk about it all, of course, is Mary. How you doing, Mary?
I'm doing good. You know, as good as can be expected dealing with these people. It's like at every opportunity, you know, you've talked about Suri playing on hard mode. It seems like at every opportunity, everyone in this house is like, you know, it'd be a really easy, straightforward decision unless we do something completely different.
Yesterday, I talked about let's catch everybody back up. So yesterday, day 30,
previously on with Taryn, yes.
Jag was evicted and then saved. And he realized that, hold on, I might be in a bad situation. Suri is running the house. I should probably work with America and Blue. Blue was like, yes, I agree. We can't trust Jared with this information because Jared is too close to them because she knows that Suri is Jared's mom, or at least is probably Jared's mom. And he talked with America and he believed that they were trying to frame America for the vote, because it doesn't make any sense that America would be a holdout for him staying. And we were wondering, like, heading into today here, day 31, it was like, whoa, what's going to happen? And I said yesterday on the update, I said, Suri's game is like a siren song. If you aren't focused on making sure you're not being tricked by her, by being lulled into her her mist of mistiness, then you'll find yourself all of a sudden back under. It's like he came up for a breath of air, of fresh air, and it was like, wait a minute, Suri is bad. And then today on day 30 was him being like, okay, I know Suri is bad. Time to focus on wait, hold on. What's this mist? Hey, it's Suri. Let's make an alliance. Handshake.
I'm so over it. Look, we all thought for a hot second that having Jag stay, yeah, would open his mind and everything be fine. No. We're just back where we started.
Yeah. Pretty much.
It's almost like canceling a week just canceled the week and nothing else happened. It's like everyone forgot what happened on eviction day, mm-hmm, and all the clarity that could have been gained there.
Yeah. It's like, you know how, because people were like, people were making the jokes. They're like, oh man, here it is. It's Jag parentheses evicted. He's woken up. It's Blue knowing Jared's mom. It's like they've become better players all of a sudden. And it really does feel to me like there's these players on their own devices, and then there's these players under the influence of Ciri. Mm-hmm. It's like this is a player, a normal player. This is player's brain on Ciri.
Yes.
And it's like mangled mush.
Yes.
And
don't do Ciri even once. Don't try.
Not even once.
Not even once. That's how they hook you.
You will get hooked. All right. So let's talk through the day here, because Jared is the HOH and he's going to make some nominations. I'm going to pull up the graphic, which is going to show you what the nominations are. It shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. We're going to run through how this happened. But I want to try and take this in threads today and plot lines today rather than just through the whole day, because there's so much dumb back and forth. So first I want to talk about the nominations, then we'll get to JAG, and then we'll talk about some of the other stuff. Nominations today, day 31. Jared still plans to nominate Cam in Red. He is going to end up doing that, of course. He's going to have his one-on-ones. Basically, the plan comes into place that Cam is the target. Red is going to be the pawn. Now, Jared is concerned. He's like, winning HOH is great, but what happens if my target stays? Would that mean that Cam is coming for me? That wouldn't be nice. So he comes up with a plan with Felicia primarily, but it's refined throughout the day, that he's going to tell Cam that he's a pawn for Red. Because what happened was, as soon as Jared won the HOH and Cam lost his power, Cam threw Red under the bus and was like, I'm willing to help take out Red if that's what needs to be done. He's going to go along with that notion that Red is the target and that Cam is going to just have to be the pawn to help out in taking out Red. And then he's going to tell Red that he's the pawn to take out Cameron. And that's going to be the truth. That's going to be the story that everybody is told, except for Cam. Cam is going to be told a different story. And he'll tell Red that the reason he's going on the block as a pawn next to Cam is that he's really close with Cam, but also Cam has already thrown him under the bus. So hopefully Red won't take it too personally that they're targeting Cam and putting him up, because he'll know that Cam threw him under the bus and he'll be more mad at Cam than anybody else. And plus he's always really wanted to be this loyal soldier. So, you know, it seems like that could work.
Yeah, that's the initial plan. And you would think maybe, wait, Cam and Red, they're like BFFs though. They probably wouldn't be okay with this. I'm not saying there was no pushback, because there was pushback, but it's not as much as there should have been. There certainly wasn't, let's think about every single other option besides this.
You want to know what Cam's pushback was? Please don't.
Yep. Please, no. I'd rather not, though. Because I've been on the block. And it's like a bad look to be pawn, pawn, HOH, pawn.
Yep.
Sad.
Yeah.
And honestly, Red didn't really have like any pushback.
No. I mean, Red also was very much, oh, Cam did that to me. Okay. Well, I'm going on the block. Oh, okay. And don't worry, there's plenty to say about Red, in just a little bit, but, so that's the plan. He goes through with it. He tells Red, you're the pawn for Cam. He threw you under the bus. He tells Cam, you're the pawn for Red. Red is my target. And when he talks to Bowie, who is theoretically the backup plan for a replacement nominee, she basically chooses Red over Cam. She drops Cam. Cam threw Red under the bus. Well, I'm throwing Cam under the bus. He sucks. Let's stick with Red. Red is the guy. And if you need a replacement, please not me. How about America? And when Jared talked to Ciri, they discussed the possibility of Bowie or America. Now, Remember in day 30, Jared talked about how he would like to nominate America instead of Red as the initial pawn. And that notion comes up a couple of times, but ultimately he sticks with his plan of Red and Cameron as the nominees. But they do discuss if someone comes down, it could be Bowie, it could be America. One or the other, they're not entirely sure. Jared would really love to throw America up on that block, though, to wake her up, really, you know, teach her a lesson.
Yeah, I was keeping track throughout all these conversations of who the possible replacement nominee was, depending on who he was talking to. And that was kind of fun to track because he would throw up America and Bowie to most people. But then like some conversations, it was leaning more Bowie. Some conversations, it was leaning more America. Like when he talks to Jag, he says the thing about, I really want to wake America up. And Jag's like, yeah, but you know, if you put America up, she could go potentially, and that wouldn't be good.
Yes.
So yeah. There's a little bit of pushback from some people about America going up. And then of course you've got like Cam and Red who are like, it's gotta be America, right? Like America, like maybe we even want to get America out potentially. Right. Maybe.
Yes. And he's told them straight up, it's going to be America. And when talking with, Suri, kind of started to come more on the side, more down on the side of putting America up on the block if one of them were to come down. But they wouldn't vote her out, that they would just put her up. But we know this group, if America goes up, especially next to Red, who knows?
It certainly will flip back and forth several times in conversation at the very least.
Already, and it hasn't happened yet. Yeah. So Jared also talks to Suri about his letter.
It
was written by, I believe, like one of his siblings who had to then change their name for the sake of the letter, because Jared has given fake names for his siblings as opposed to the real names that Suri has given apart from Jared's name. Which was funny, but he was surprised because he put his current / ex 7-year relationship girlfriend as the first person that would send a letter, and didn't get that one. And Suri was like, well, yeah, probably not with the situation you've got going on here. And Jared has this, and hey, I don't know his life, but he has quite the amount of confidence that like whatever is happening with Blue is like totally fine. And that there is not going to be, first of all, not going to be anything long-term with Blue outside of this. And second, that he can probably just go back, I guess. I don't know.
Look, some people have open relationships and agreements and that might be fine. I also wouldn't put it past Jared to just think, you know how like sometimes when you're a kid or like in a video game, you hide in a corner and you think if I can't see them, they can't see me. Like, I wonder if Jared is thinking like, well, they can't see what happens under a blanket. Like, they don't know. Like, they have plausible deniability.
Yeah. Now, we know that this person responded extremely negatively to the relationship with Blue. So whatever Jared is confident of, it's not the case, seemingly. I think Jared also, you know, of just a few days ago was like, well, you can only speculate what happens under the blankets. You don't know for sure. And also got very mad at Blue for confirming something on the feeds that couldn't have been confirmed.
Does he not know that the feeds... But the feeds, they're happening just because you say something, but we could see it. But the proof right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, maybe I really think one day we're going to have a house full of contestants who understand the fact that for the most part, you can watch live feeds.
Yeah.
And that they're in the house. And that means live. Not just during ceremonies. actually not during ceremonies.
Yeah, ceremonies are some of the most protected.
I was going to say, that's the time you should be trying to get it on.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. Or, and I know you've mentioned this before, don't do it under a blanket because they won't show that.
Yeah. He also has this notion that like what happens in the house stays in the house. And that's what he talked to Blue about before. He was like, why would you get mad about like something like, why would you consider it cheating? If it was happening in the house, if they didn't like, if you don't know that they did anything. Like that was one of the first conversations he had with her. So.
What?
Yeah. He was like, when Matt wanted to make a move on Riley, he was like, why would that be considered cheating? She was like, what do you mean?
What? Oh, they are in a black hole. Jared at least thinks they are. The Big Brother house, as we all know, exists in a place that's neither real nor confirmable.
So that was interesting. Suri is going to talk about feeling bad for Red because Red has been on about, you know, my birthday this week. And it sucks that I'm on the block for my birthday. And Suri is like, I feel bad for this man. It's his birthday. Now, you know, I think Suri recognizes that Jared, especially a Red without Cam, is very loyal to her. And so she's going to start going around saying, I do not want to let this man go home on his birthday. I do not want Red to leave this week. And that's a very dangerous notion because what that means is that if Cameron comes off the block and Red is on the block against a replacement nominee and Suri has already expressed that she does not want to let Red go home this week, it's kind of open season. We've talked about Bowie going up as a replacement. We've talked about America going up as a replacement. Either one of them could end up leaving next to Red. I mean, even before she said that, we know how fickle the house guests are and how much they go back and forth when there's two people on the block. But in addition to that, if they know that the replacement might be the target, it could open up to anybody. We could decide to target anybody. So this is dangerous. And it is considered the idea of sending out America or if Red or if Cam wins the veto. And so watch out, house guests, you are not safe.
Yeah. And I think that this is just more of a reason why at any given time, even if you hear that a plan is to put up certain people, you always need to be thinking about that. That replacement nomination, you always need to be, you know, you can't pause. You can't say, okay, well, Red and Cameron are going up. I'm completely safe this week. You got to think about it, especially in this house. You've seen what's happened in the past. Think about the fact that if one of them comes down and someone else goes up, you don't want to be that someone. It's almost like pawns sometimes go home.
Sometimes. Yeah. Jared is still concerned about Cam, though, and he really wants to convince Cameron that he is just pawn. And so he has a long conversation with Cameron later in the day after the nomination ceremony, where he talks to Cam about how he is the pawn and how they can work together moving forward. And they talk about like who they could work with. Even they're talking about working with Corey, working with different people. Cameron is like, I'm telling you, if we get out America, that really works for us, you know, instead of Red, like just a whole lot of nonsense because Jared is just very concerned that Cam might win the veto. And then if that does happen, then all of this nonsense becomes real fake nonsense instead of just completely fake nonsense. And so that is in place in the event that Cameron or maybe red will get there, wins the veto.
Oh gosh. You know, it's been a long time since we've had like a potential Marcellus. So it's fun to think about. I know we've gone past a lot of this. I do want to mention one funny thing, unless you think we're going to come back to anything with Bowie.
No, you can bring up Bowie for okay. sure.
I didn't think so. I thought it was really funny when there's a part earlier after all the Jared one-on-ones where Ceree and Bowie are talking. And Ceree is very concerned about Red potentially going home on his birthday or being on the block during his birthday. It's very sad. And Bowie's like, I know, that would be the worst. At that in that point, we would just have to get Sam Cameron to self-evict. It's like, what, Bowie? I mean, I'm not saying no one would ever do that, but I don't think Cameron's. I love the way that Bowie thinks. Bowie also being concerned that she was a backdoor. And I'm trying to remember who was like, is it Jag? Somebody was like, really? Like, she's never going to be a backdoor. Like, we're not going to backdoor Bowie. Come on.
Hey, who said that. She's a mastermind. All right.
Oh, it was Nicole. It was Nicole who said, girl, don't flatter yourself. You're never going to be a backdoor.
You know, honestly, it could happen if she goes up as a replacement, and the vote flips because it just is a flippy vote this season. She could be backdoored. You never know.
Yeah, she could. I don't think it would be intentional. Like,
no,
let's
no,
intentionally I don't think so. can't let her be the initial nominee. Ooh,
yeah. Let's talk about Red Celis, because Red had been informed he's going up on the block. He's now up on the block. He's talking to Ceree. Ceree is talking about wanting to help protect him this week. He's feeling a little down. He's feeling a little upset. It's like, come on, no, Red, we've got this. You know, you're going to be okay. He says, no, it's not that. It's just, you know, as a man, you make promises. And I am a man and keep their promises. And so I'm going to have to keep my promises. I've made a promise. What are you talking about? Like, it's, you know, I've made a promise. And I've got to see that promise through. And so, you know, it's almost better if I don't win the veto, is what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean? What are you saying? Red has made a promise to Cameron that he would go home before Cameron. He is gonna jump in front of the Jared bullet here and that if he wins the veto, he has made a promise to Cam that he will use the veto on Cameron rather than himself, and now that he's found out that Cameron has thrown him under the bus, what a shame that he made that promise, because he's got to stick to it. Because he's a man and that's what men do. And that's a quote.
Do you remember when in Big Brother 3, this is actually not a Marcellus comment, so there was another one in there, when Amy and Roddy were on the block and Amy won the veto and Roddy was like, Amy, you promised that if you ever won the veto that you would use it on me. And she's like, yeah, but see, I'm on the block too. That's what Red needs to be thinking.
That's such a great comparison, though, because not only was that the case, but Roddy also refused to lie to Amy in that situation.
Yes. And Roddy said, refused to lie and said, well, yeah, you would go in that scenario also. And the thing is, I bring this up because I think the point here is that Amy at least knew that promises go out the window when it comes down to who could be going home. Now, Marcellus doesn't know that a few episodes later. Be more like Amy right there.
Yeah. You know, it's just, listen, it's, I love he brought up Roddy because like he was another one. Like, this is a very, you know, we've talked a lot about masculinity, in this house and the different ways that it is impacting different players. And this is very much, classic, like man jumping at the opportunity to become a martyr. Just like, oh, wait, I can sacrifice myself like a manly man. Well, I guess I have to do it. No, please. Nobody wants you to do this. Nope, it's too late. The promise has been made and thy honor must be upheld because I am the manly man. It's so bad. So bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you almost wonder in moments like that, like, are you just looking for a way to leave the house? Like maybe you're okay with that. Maybe you've had enough.
Yeah. They're going to speculate because they've talked about that he is apparently worried that his girlfriend is going to leave him. And so he must, you know, do the manly man thing and quit the game and go back.
Which is actually really funny because that brings up the potential that if their goal was to get Cameron out, not Red, and they actively don't want Red to leave, you actually need to not put Red up against Cameron.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Well, he'd still use the veto on Cam, though.
Yeah, but at least he might not play. Like, I don't know.
So that's kind of the state of the nominations and the target situation. And that is the first black hole that you've fallen into.
That's not it. That's not the whole day. It's a nice calm day. Just some noms.
Let's rewind on our Rashomon journey here and come back to Jag. Let's follow Jag's journey through the day, because remember, just the night before, he got woke, and he realized everything that needed to happen, everything that was happening in the game. Mm-hmm. Ceree is the mastermind. She's done this before. We need to form some kind of resistance. They're trying to frame America. So, in the morning, he goes to Matt and he says, Matt, we can't trust Ceree. Uh-oh. Shouldn't have said this to Matt. I don't know why you're saying this to Matt. We can't trust Ceree. And he says, and to be fair to Jag in this spot, he's got some pretty good evidence. He says, Matt, Jared knew about your power.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, he was talking to me about how I was going to be saved, how somehow both me and Blue might be saved before it happened. So unless you told Jared before it happened, Ceree must have. We know that Matt did not tell Jared until after it happened, and Jared pretended to not know anything, and Ceree has pretended that she hasn't told Jared. Jared, once again, completely screwing up. I don't know what he was thinking, hinting to Jag that.
He was, but it's the move of wanting to feel like you're in on it, wanting to get some of the credit, wanting to, you know, it's like when you're in middle school and you've, you know, gotten two of your friends together and you want to go between and be like, hey, I know that they like you too. It's like, this has nothing to do with you. You just want to be involved. You want some credit.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, this should be concerning information to Matt, to be fair. It's not, of course. But this is exposing the fact that Ceree has this very tight relationship with Jared at the very least, but Jag sees it as like Jared knew, I bet they all knew. They must have all known. Because why would she tell Jared and not the closer people in her life? If Jared knew, then they all must have known.
Yeah. And this is where, like, your perceptions of the game can start to get in the way, because if Matt had a bigger reaction here, if Matt, you know, he trusts Ceree, and so he can't think, oh, well, Ceree wouldn't have betrayed me. So he just doesn't react to this. But if he had reacted to it, then I think that that would have bolstered Jag, and the two of them would have been like, wow, yeah, this Ceree thing, it's a problem. She must have told Jared. And also, because your perception of the house is that Ceree is close with Jared, but closer with other people, you're not reading into the fact of, why did she tell Jared? Why Jared? No, you're assuming that it must have been other people.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you got to look at the facts and not color it with how you see things.
I think that's a very important point to bring up here, because it's going to be very relevant as the day continues, that it's, again, you know, we talk a lot about Ceree and what makes her so good. And Ceree is a player who makes facts irrelevant.
Yeah.
Ceree makes you want to work with her so bad that you will ignore all of the red flags surrounding her just go straight in. Sometimes you're like, wait a minute, this is bad. There's a lot of red flags here. And then she says, what are there? And you're like, oh, maybe there aren't. She's like, come on, we really want to work together, don't we? And you're like, I do really want to work with you, Ceree. But all of these red flags, there's this information coming in and all of these things that don't make sense. And she's like, but don't you really want to? And they're like, I do really want to. Is it possible? Can we just ignore the flags? She's like, yes, honey, we can. And they're like, okay, we'll just ignore the flags. Yeah, we're working with Ceree.
And like, I get that from the perspective of someone who has watched Ceree and, you know, would love to work with her. Most of these people don't even care about Ceree's past. This is just pure Ceree. Ceree in these games, not in real life, probably, hopefully, is like a toxic relationship that yeah. other people have. She's going to keep you coming back, despite the fact that she's giving you evidence of reasons you shouldn't trust her. But she's just so great, and you just want to be with her all the time.
Yep.
It's amazing.
Genuinely is what's going on. Jag says to Matt, he says, this is exactly what they did to Riley. We cannot trust Ceree. They don't even have their story straight. Corey and America do. I believe Corey and America over them. That's how the day starts.
Oh, let's just stay there in the truth zone.
Jag is going to go to Izzy and he questions her about the vote, and she fails dramatically. She's under the assumption that Jag is not serious about this, because when she talked to Jared, who had talked to Blue did the right thing and told Jared, Jag is chill. He's not worried about the vote. Not realizing that Jag was going to spend the entire day interrogating everybody about the vote that he already knew wasn't a thing, but he needs to figure it out from everybody. And this is the thing. It's like, okay, I just escaped Ceree's deadly spider web from the Lord of the Rings. You know that part with the spiders and the webs, and they get out of the spider's web stuff.
Like, I've definitely watched Lord of the Rings.
We made it out of the spider webs. This is like if Jag were Frodo or Sam and he was like, okay, we made it out of the spider webs. And Blue is like, yeah, let's keep going to the ring destroying place. And Jag was like, but wait, are we sure the spiders were bad? Should we not go back in just to make sure, just to ask him a couple of questions, just to, you know, figure it out, figure things out, clear the air, you know, let's just go back through the hole. Let's just, okay, I'm just going to go talk to the spiders again.
Oh! Oh, crap! I'm stuck! Oh, no, this is actually nice. Okay, I'm good.
That's Jack.
Yeah, because, see, the spiders originally made Jack feel comfortable, but they were lying. So, but they made him feel comfortable. So to clarify things, you need, you want to go ask them some questions, because surely they're not going to lie to you again. Surely this time it'll be the truth.
Yeah. He talks to Izzy. Izzy feels like this is easy. Because when Blue talked to Jared, she was like, Jag's not going to interrogate. We're going to pretend like we believe them. And so she said that to Jared, Jag trusts you guys. He doesn't care about the vote. He doesn't believe Corey in America. And so Izzy goes to Jared and she's like, Jag wants to talk to me about this stuff. He gave me a really weird vibe. I'm concerned. Jared says, nah, he doesn't care. He trusts us. And she's like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm getting a vibe from him. And he's like, no. See, honestly, I feel like I trust Blue about Jag more than I trust Jag about Jag. And Blue said that he'd trust us fully. So,
which is an absurd thing to say, but like also kind of makes sense. Because, yeah, Jag has not been a reliable advocate for his own thoughts.
It's fair.
Like, Jag is apparently pretty easily swayed with whoever he talks to. And so if Jared basically is saying, yeah, I mean, Blue's not worried. And even if Jag is worried now, we'll just get him back on board. It's fine.
Yeah. So she talks to Jag and he's like, so what happened with the vote? And she bombs this. She's just like, oh, well, I don't know. I thought, like, I didn't realize what was happening. And you know, it was, you know, Corey in America. And he's like, Corey in America. She's like, yeah, Corey in America, for sure. And then also, you know, the power. And he's like, power and Corey in America. Or which one? Like, oh, well, both, you know. He's like, it just, my thing is that, like, let's say we don't have Corey in America. The entire plan, the original plan, was that we had the votes anyway, without them, with Jared.
Right.
She was like, yeah, but that's where the power came in, where we were concerned that Red had the power. And so then Corey in America, and then you got voted out. Yeah.
By everyone, unanimously, even though we all told you we weren't.
Yeah,
including so Korean America.
That was basically, you know, the thing. Now Jag knows or thinks that they know that Red didn't have the power. And right. This is a terrible explanation, and he fully does not trust it or buy it because he's a human being with a brain.
At this time, he is.
Right, you would think. So while this is happening, America talks to Blue and they have an actual conversation about how Suri is running the house and how they should work together, and that they, you know, that America talked to Jag last night and things are looking good, but they need to, you know, keep them calm on the other side, aka don't interrogate them about the vote. They're also going to talk about how creepy Cam has been, but yet again, these conversations are getting cut. Now, should be mentioned now that in America's one-on-one with Jared, they were talking some game. Jared let her know that Cam was pushing her name to be backdoored. And she was like, that's so annoying. He's so annoying. And started talking about all the things that Cam has been doing and saying about her to her that she finds very uncomfortable. And how she, how Cam had like come to her to be like, I know what you're doing with Corey, and you're gonna hurt him. You're like, you're friend zoning him, and I've been in that situation before, and I know how it feels. And like all of this weird stuff, we've already talked about a lot of it already. But then, in the middle of her telling, the feed's cut, And then they come back after the converse, after the one-on-one is finished, like 10 minutes later. And this is like a recurring event throughout the day that anytime we start talking about Cameron's behavior toward America, the feed's cut because production loves protecting people who are sexually harassing people, I guess, is the thing.
Right, because production subscribes to the Jared viewpoint of thing, which is if it's in the Big Brother house, it doesn't count and you can't see it. And it just, it doesn't exist in real life. So if you don't see it, exactly.
You can only speculate.
You can't really, you know, you can't really assume what they were saying. Because like probably the way the conversation went was like, wow, Cam was being really creepy, you know, telling me that I friend zone Corey and stuff, feeds cut. But, you know, Cam's such a great guy. And I just really feel like he probably doesn't mean anything by it. And he's really, really great. And like, I do. Yeah, I do feel like I'm friend zoning Corey and that Cam is really the best. And like, you know, I just really love Cam. And then the feeds come back.
Yeah. You know, if only those feeds, you know, because, man, it would be so exonerating for Cam if we were able to see it. It's really production's fault.
I know.
Yeah.
Can't see that part.
Yeah.
Well, sad.
So they have a good conversation, America and Blue. Then Jag is going to talk to Matt again. And he's going to say to Matt, like, hey, Izzy, what a liar. Like this is no good. I think that we really need to do something. And Matt is, you know, just kind of listening, for the most part. And then Suri walks in. And this is when things start to change because Suri walks in and immediately Matt's like, oh, it's Suri. Jag, look, it's Suri. And they're like, oh, it's the three of us together. Let's celebrate how we saved you, Jag. Yay. It's like, oh, wow. Yes, we're saved. And Matt is like, we should really trust each other, Jag, moving forward. You know, like, I know you're worried about this vote situation, but I really think Corey in America, like, is it Corey in America? But anyway, let's focus on Suri. Yeah. Let's focus on, you know, Matt says, I really trust both of you. I really think, you know, other problems aside, I would really like to work with both of you. You are the two people. Before she left.
Oh my God.
Riley told me to protect Suri, protect Jack. And so here's what I'm thinking, guys. We make a final three, us three. And I've been thinking, I want to call it Riley's Promise.
No, no. No. Look, every few seasons, we get this person who is like so inconsequential to the grand scheme of the entire game, who goes out so early, but like a couple people in the house just can't get them out of their mind. And it just infiltrates everything and their thoughts. And it's like, move on. It's not a thing. Get rid of the shrines. Stop bringing up their name. Once they're gone for good. If you're pre-jury, it doesn't matter. I'm sorry. Okay. Cappy, Paloma, stop. No, we're not doing it. I'm so, you know, it's like Gina Marie.
Yep.
The girl who is obsessed with, oh man, I forgot his name. Who's the guy who left, the returning player?
Jesse,
thank you. Mm-hmm. Jesse, like, no.
Yeah. Yeah, I tweeted this out and then I looked at the tweet and I was like, I feel like my name should be like the inaccurate updates. And then a lot of people are like, this is fake, right? It's not fake. You really, really propose this name. Now, Suri and Jag were like, yeah, let's keep workshopping the name. Let's keep, they like, we could do something like Promised, the Promised Ones. Or what about like, we could do like superheroes. Could we do like superhero names? They were really workshopping this. Suri was like, okay, let's just figure it out later. And Jag was like, but wait, let me think of another one. Jag really, really wanted the name to get locked down, but they could not figure out a name. They spent like 30 minutes on this. Jag was like, let's at least get the handshake down, though. Let's get the handshake down. They're going to like boom. And then that's the handshake. You can check out the GIF that I posted under the Riley's Promise tweet if you want.
Taryn, have you ever been on like a team, like a sports team where you do like a little cheer, like maybe before you go or like after, and like you kind of feel a little silly doing it, but like everyone's doing it.
Yeah. That's
how I feel watching these people. Like, you know, I really think it'd be funny if Suri somehow convinced all of her separate alliances to come up with a handshake and then told all of them to do the handshake like right before they vote. Or like the or whatever, like a little hand signal or whatever, and then
she
just
never
like
remember them all.
But no, no. But she doesn't. She doesn't need to. Just tell everyone else to do it, and then we just watch them vote.
With her, she would do the wrong one.
I know, but I was like, okay, so it can't really be a handshake, but like a little symbol that's like, you know, like how people have done like the whatever. Big Brother Canada does it all the time too.
If she was a bigger fan of the show, I think that she could absolutely tell. She could. I think Suri has the power to get every single person in the house to do a different symbol in the diary room.
That was what I wanted, is everyone to do one. And then they all think that it's like the alliance. And then she's in the diary room like, I don't even know. What are all these people doing? And then you just watch the montage of every person going up and being like, yeah, it's the five. We're going to vote. Or like, oop, tip the cap. Or like whatever that little ooh thing was that you just did.
Could you imagine if they did that? I sadly vote to evict Cam. Shout out to my mom and then everyone else in the world that I've ever
Okay, thanks.
To.
Thank you.
So
again.
They lock in the alliance. Here it is. Final three alliance. Jag, Matt, and Suri.
Which is definitely not alliance that Suri would ever go anywhere close to the end with.
Yes. In fact, right after making this alliance, she goes to Izzy, who's like, yeah, Jag was interrogating me about that vote situation. And Suri's like, oh, so Jag. Annoying. He might need to go soon.
And this is what's so wild is like, because of the paranoia with everyone else, even when Suri has the potential to get Jag fully back on her side, they know how ridiculous that would be. And so they don't even trust that it would be true.
Well, it's also like, this is the problem with trying to work with Suri, is that everyone wants to work with Suri. And so Suri can, at a whim, decide, I'd rather work with this person. She can make a final three with somebody and immediately discard it because she already has a bunch, you know, like you're coming up to her, gifting her your most prized possession. Here is a final three. The only thing better than this that I have is a final two. But I am giving you my second born child. I'm giving you my second born child, Suri. And she's like, oh, thank you so much. You're wonderful. And then they leave the throne room and she tosses them into a pit. She's like, I already got a bunch of these. Doesn't matter.
Yep.
And then you come back to her. You're like, where's my second born child? How are they growing up? And she's like, it's great. Going real well. They're, you know, they started walking recently. But they're still a baby. How is that possible? You know, it's just how it works, right? You agree. You're with me. Yeah, you know, I guess I am with you. So yeah. I guess they must have started walking. Yeah, that makes sense. Because everything makes sense. Everything makes sense when Ciri says it.
I don't know. You know, I'd like to believe that I'd
what
be different. But I don't know. I don't know, Taryn. Taryn's lost the plot. Taryn, here's a question. I'm assuming you've got just notes and notes and spreadsheets and diagrams and all that kind of stuff. Do you ever delete alliances off there when you're like, this one's not relevant anymore? Delete it? Or have you been keeping them all?
I don't have like an alliance chart. But I don't delete. If I'm writing notes, especially a season like this, if I'm writing notes during the day and then like all of them become irrelevant by nighttime, then I'll usually delete those. But I've learned not to do that this season. So
Yeah. I finally deleted the professors off my alliance chart. It's like, it doesn't matter anymore. Who cares? All of these people are in 5 other alliances with Ciri. So like, it's fine.
Yes. So Ciri is, despite the fact that she just made the final 3 with Jag, is feeling like maybe Jag should go next because he is talking too much and questioning people too much. That's
Jag,
kind of how
when you're in, you're out.
You know, that's kind of how they're feeling. She's concerned that America is telling him too much as well, and that America is also a problem. And so after making the final 3, Jag talks to Blue again. And this time, when they come together, he's still kind of on the train of like, I think they're lying about the vote for sure. But he's less concerned with Ciri all of a sudden, more concerned with Izzy and Felicia. Izzy lied to me. Felicia and Izzy, their stories weren't straight. They're the ones that are the problem. So, you know, we should be careful. We should wait, I think, a little while before we make any kind of move. I think it's a little too early. We don't want to ruin the trust that we have with them / Ciri. Ciri. I'm only talking about Ciri.
Right.
I don't want to ruin the trust I have with Ciri. So let's not make a move anytime soon. But like eventually, I think we should strike at those people like Izzy and Felicia for sure.
If Ciri went to, let's say, either Matt or Jag sometime soon and told one of them that actually, you know what, Matt, I think Jag needs to go. Or actually, you know what, Jag, I'm not so sure about Matt. Let's just pretend she did that. I don't think either of them would think anything of it. They wouldn't be like, wow, but we just had a conversation where we were all together in alliance. Be like, oh, I'm the chosen one. I'm the good one.
Yeah.
Oh.
Be like, you know, I've been thinking, but you know, you and me really need to go to the final 2 together. Oh, you're right. I do need to go to the final 2 with you. But in order to do that, we need to get rid of Matt this week.
Yeah.
Oh, but why? That doesn't make sense. You know, he's been so shady. Did you see? I was watching him on the monitor and he was talking to Cameron.
Wow.
Yeah. And they were both talking to America earlier today. So, gotta go. Oh, wow. I guess he does have to go. Man.
Yeah.
Can't believe
things change so fast. But I'm good, right? Because we're...
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, let's go to the final 2.
You're not like saying those exact same things to someone else, but about me, right?
Of course not. No.
Of course not.
I would never. Jag is going to be questioned by Ciri after this. She's like, what's going on, Jag? Why are you interrogating everybody about this vote? I thought we were chill. I thought we literally just did the handshake. What's going on? He's like, oh, that's not, I'm not trying to interrogate. That's not what I'm trying to do. I didn't mean it like that. I was just, you know, I was just trying to figure out what happened with the vote is all that's happening. I was voted out unanimously. I mean, that's like a legitimate concern, right? I should not be happy with that, right? Or no? Or I should be happy with
no, that. No, you're okay. No, there's no thing because we use the power.
Right. So you did save me.
Right.
I guess I should be grateful you voted me out unanimously.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, think about the fact that you didn't go.
Wow.
And so everything is, you know, okay. And it I'm really so doesn't sorry. Matter.
I didn't think of it that way before. Yeah. But yeah.
And you know, if you need to get everyone in a room, that's fine. We'll do that. You know,
I don't want to make a big deal of it.
Whoever you're getting, you know, issues from, like, I'll happily line them up. And if your information is not matching up, I'll stand in front of whoever it is.
No, I don't want to put you in that spot. No, that's fine.
For you, Jag.
I trust you, Sari.
Yeah.
You're good. I'm sorry. I'm making a problem. I don't want to make any more problems.
You know, because I wasn't the one who, you know, controlled this at all.
No, I don't think you were.
Okay. Thank you. I go pat, pat, pat.
That's like actually how the conversation went, like, by the way. Much. We're not making that up.
No, that's pretty much what happened.
Sari was like, yeah, let's call a meeting. They didn't. He was like, no, that's not necessary. Jag is now not as concerned about the vote situation. He's starting to buy into what Sari is giving, but he still wants to be in control. He wants to have the allies, so he's gonna make a play with Red, in the kitchen, in front of everyone for like 2 hours.
In the kitchen. With the toaster.
While Red is making fudge, Jag is going to talk to Red in the most like vague, long-winded, like, you know, there are people in this house, and I think that those people have people in the house that are also in the house. And I think that if we had people in the house, like maybe each other, in the house, then we would be able to have people in the house too. And I feel like we could be people in the house. And so I think that if maybe we started to be more, you know, open to being people, meanwhile, Red is starting to make fudge, making the fudge, finishing the fudge, tasting the fudge. It's actually fudge. I've never done this before. I can't believe I actually made fudge. That's so, so great, Red. So about the people in the house, though, like, I do think that we should probably try to, like, if we could have something on the, now he's cleaning up the kitchen stuff that he used to make the fudge. Now somebody's coming by. He's like, oh, did you want to try the fudge? Isn't it so good? Sorry, what were you saying, Jag? Yeah, I was just saying about how like people in the house, if you were to stay this week, like I would love for you to win the veto. And this is when Red is like, ooh. Yeah. About that.
But see, have I told you that I'm a man with some promises?
I don't know if you saw the beard, but
manly man.
Yeah.
I've and like
got this condition.
See, there's like this thing.
Yeah, I'm a dude.
Promises. Dude with fudge. Got some fudge.
I was diagnosed with a promise. It is, in fact, terminal. I'm going to have to stick with that promise. And Jag is like, what are you talking about? What promise? What do you mean? And he's like, yeah, it's just, let's just leave it at this, that it'd be better for somebody else to win the veto than for me to win the veto. And Jag is like, okay, tell me if I'm off, but I'm trying to read between the lines. You don't have to confirm anything, but like, it sounds like someone has done you wrong.
No.
It's like, well, yeah, kind of. Yeah, that's a thing that's happened. And somebody is forcing you to do something. No, I made, I made the promise. Like, okay. So I'm, but you're saying that you're, what is the promise? So I can't use the veto on myself. It's like,
this is who Jag wants to work with, be as a person in the house with. Sorry, you killed me with diagnosed with a promise. That was so funny.
wait, hold on. Why? And eventually, like, starts to kind of like, okay. So Cam, you're going to use the veto on Cam, but like, didn't he betray you? Like, yeah, it doesn't matter. That's, you know, that's, you know, men, you know how it is. And so while this is happening, while they have been in there for hours, and it really did, I tweeted this out. This conversation reminded me of, like, you know, those like text exchanges you'll see that are just like so, so terrible and cringy, where it's like Jag is like, Hey, you want to make an alliance? No response. Just kidding about the alliance. Lol. unless you want the alliance. Lol. And then Red's just like, oh yeah, sorry, I couldn't respond. I was in the middle of making fudge. Oh my God, fudge. I love fudge. We're like soulmates. Oh my God, this is amazing. No response again. What if we called our alliance like the soulmates? Like, okay, wouldn't that be funny? No response. And they just keep spiraling down to like, what? Like, Red, don't you want to respond? Like, like the alliance.
Jag has not read. He's just not that into you. You know, I don't often think about the fact that I am glad that I do not have the pressure of being a manly man who needs to keep an alliance deal, even if it's completely not in my best interest and will result in me potentially going home. Glad I don't have that burden.
Yeah, you know, it is quite the burden to bear. So, of course, again, this is all happening right out in the middle of the kitchen. So many people are walking by. Suri and Mimi are just like chatting about it. They're like, what are these people doing? America's like, what are they doing? Like, what are they talking about? Izzy comes by. What are they doing in there, Suri? They've been talking for hours. Do you want to go find out? Okay, I'll go and talk to them. She goes, Red's like, you want some fudge? Corey walks by. Corey's like, what are they doing in there, Suri? I don't know. They've been there for hours. And so it's a big event. And afterward, you know, Suri is kind of back on the, okay, maybe Red does need to go if Cam wins the veto. I don't know what's going on there. Suri, Jared, and Izzy all kind of agree that's kind of the thing. He wants to go home. He's saying he has this promise. He thinks his girlfriend is going to leave him. Maybe we do just send Red home if he wins the veto, or if Cam wins the veto, or if Red wins the veto and uses it on Cam. And I'm sure that this is going to stick, and they're never going to want to change this plan ever.
I feel like live feed updates should just only happen on like Wednesday and Thursday. Because everything
else. Then how else would we have gotten the fudge?
Do you like fudge? Where do you stand on fudge?
I mean, I don't. Why are you making me say this? People are going to be mad at me again. I don't like chocolate. Sorry, it's a thing.
But I mean, there's other types of fudge.
Non-chocolate fudge? Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. I mean, it's like,
I've never seen it before, though.
It's like you do like white chocolate, but then put other flavors in. So you could have like a cheesecake flavored fudge or like a strawberry fudge. Yeah. It's kind of just like thick sugar and like butter. I don't really get what fudge is.
I'm not like the biggest sweets person in general.
Yeah. It's like fudge and taffy. It's always at like the beach. It's like, why? They're only at the beach.
My hometown. Big taffy machine.
The whole town is a taffy making machine.
No, it's like the whole, that's like the biggest spectacle in my hometown is the taffy. Everyone stands in front of the window and watches the taffy get.
Interesting.
I always hated it though. I thought it was gross.
I feel like that's more like the go-to like vacation snack.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Anyway.
These updates are very important. We will give you all the crucial information, including a 10-minute subplot about fudge.
Yes. So Corey had spoken to Ceri earlier in the day about feeling like Felicia wasn't super trustworthy. He feels like Felicia doesn't like him, which she doesn't. And we know also that Felicia, because he was offered a final four from Felicia, that whole plot line from a few days ago. This got some credit with Ceri for Corey. And they're, you know, she, when talking about Red, how Red needs to go, they're also talking about how Felicia is, they're kind of done with Felicia. They're not feeling Felicia anymore. We'll also see how long that lasts, but that is the current state of Ceri and Felicia and their like little silent war going on that only Ceri knows about.
Do you feel like Felicia really is like hard coming for Ceri?
No, I think she's setting up her end game outside of Ceri smartly, because
you're not allowed to do that.
It's not like a good end game for Felicia with Ceri, who has all these people that are more loyal to Ceri. And I think Felicia recognizes that. But unfortunately for her, you know, Felicia right now is the biggest victim of the sun situation.
Yeah.
So Matt's going to talk to Red as well. Also about working together. Matt heard what Red had to say about men and thought, you're a man. That's my kind of man. I wish I could play as honest and manly as you.
What?
We are.
What?
Birds of a, what is the phrase?
Birds of a feather?
Birds of a feather doesn't make any sense, does it?
Yeah, birds of a feather flock together, like birds who have the same.
Oh, type birds! Of okay, that makes more sense. When you add the second, we are birds of a feather. We flock together. We should work together.
No, like
he says this. He says, "Man, I wish Red is playing the game. I wish I was."
I new rule, you're not allowed to come into the house like when they do those preseason questions or they're like, would you rather be loved or win or whatever it is, like ask them the question, how important do you think honesty and integrity is to your game? And if they say anything above like then like they're out.
I like, agree. No,
we don't need those people in this game, because see, much like you can get diagnosed with a promise, you can get diagnosed with feeling like you need to be honest and integral. That's not, and have integrity.
And the amount of times I've wanted to say integral because I've heard it so much on Big Brother, I have to always stop myself.
It's like, that's not how that word works. Yeah. It like, that's not like get, I don't want that toxic, horrible behavior of trying to be truthful in this game. Because here's the thing. Now, in this Red case, it is like a little bit true, but most of the time it's the Heisum version, which is like, oh, I'm just so nice and honest, except for like when I'm not, but it's for like the best interest of myself and like by extension, my team.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like that gameplay. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Well, mm-mm. Matt wants to work with Red. Wants to save Red. He's going to pitch to Jared that they should definitely not take out Red. They should take out America instead in the event of a Cam veto win. He's going to talk to Blue and Jag a little bit later about how they definitely should not trust America and Corey. They are the snakes. And he is going to try and put a stop to this counter attack on Ceri and company. And then talk to Jag privately late into the night And this is where we leave off the night, but don't worry, there's more stuff we got to talk about. This is just the JAG story, where, they talk a bit more and he says, yeah, Corey in America, they were the ones that made the vote happen. And JAG is like, but how? Like, what do you mean? He's like, they were sketchy all week. They were back and forth. They were saying that they didn't want you to stay. Like, were they really? Like, hold on. So, because Suri told me that they said no after the meeting. What did they say to you after the meeting? And Matt was like, oh, it was cruel. America was like, oh man. Like they were like poking fun at each other for how like bad liars they are. Like, oh, can't believe we tricked him. And oh man, it was so bad. And JAG was like, but I like America was like, she really wanted to tell me, about what happened. And Matt's like, no, she didn't want to tell you. Corey wanted to tell you. He really did. He felt bad, but America said, no, America said, we can't tell him. It's just America, you know, she's just no good. And this is just a blatant lie that JAG should know is a blatant lie because Corey himself just last night said America really wanted to tell you and I said no. And yet JAG is like, wow, America then, she needs to go. Should we backdoor her? Should we go? Should we like get, she needs to go next week, don't you think? Like I know for sure now I can't trust America. Wow. Okay. How do we get America out?
JAG's one of the only people who actually was truthful to JAG, gave JAG the heads up that he wasn't going to be staying. One of the few people that JAG has that wouldn't leave JAG for Suri. And this is why, like, even the JAG and Red alliance that he was trying to make there, why none of that matters is because JAG and Red would both go to Suri first before each other.
Well, don't worry. Matt is going to propose, what if we make an alliance of me, you, Suri, and Red? And JAG is like, oh. That's the best idea I've ever heard. Nobody would ever see that coming. Me and Red together, working together, nobody would see that coming except for every single person that saw you in the kitchen together for hours. Nobody.
Taryn. No. 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 Remember all those people who are like, what are they talking about? What are they talking about? And you know, it's great if they do bring this to Suri. Suri just gets to be like, oh yeah, it's fine. They weren't talking about anything in there. It's okay.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
I want Suri to teach lessons. How to be like Suri. How can we take this? You know, there's like how to win friends and influence people. I need like how to be like Suri and just get everyone to throw away everything in their life that's important to them for you at all times.
Yeah, I want to make sure we are accounting for the possibility that JAG did see through Matt's lies and was just faking it with Matt. This does not track with how JAG has behaved ever. But it's theoretically possible. It's also theoretically possible he gets his head back out of the mist at some point. But if you watch this conversation, it does not seem great. I guess we will see what happens, moving forward from here.
What would it take for JAG? I mean, cause you would have thought it was what just happened with him getting voted out 10-0. What could it take for JAG to not just have some little seeds of doubt, little questions, little whatever. But you truthfully finally stop trusting Ceree to where he would not agree to other alliances with her. Or if he did, he would instantly leave and be like, yeah, that's fake, though. I don't trust her.
I think at this point it's over. I think if he's really genuinely like believing that America was not with him, then there's no hope. There's nothing. Ceree could stand up as HOH, nominate Jag, then have a tie vote and break the tie and evict Jag. And he would go out to Julie saying, I know Ceree really wanted to save me. But she just wasn't able to. And it was my fault.
And the beauty is that Ceree's not even having to directly do the work herself. She's got everyone else so in love with her that people like Matt are able to convince Jag to work with Ceree, despite the fact that he should know better. Oh, well. Can you give negative numbers on a stockwatch?
Yeah, believe me, that's what I was talking about earlier today.
It's fine. It's fine. Like, my soul is dead, but it's okay.
All right. Well, let's move back to America and Corey. Let's talk a little bit about America and Corey through the day, because they have a little bit of their own journey. Corey, coming off of the Jag conversation from the night before, is going to give Izzy a heads up that, like, hey, Jag is questioning us about the votes. And apparently Ceree threw us under the bus. So we just did the same. I assume that's what we're supposed to do. Just so you know, I am throwing you guys under the bus. We're just going to do the same thing as Riley, I guess. Jag is definitely questioning people about this. He doesn't seem to trust you guys or us. He's just trying to figure out this vote situation. And people were so outraged about this. But I think in hindsight, it was more than the call to make, considering Jag's behavior throughout the rest of this day.
Yeah. 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 I think, and then that's like yesterday you had said, you know, Corey was telling Jag, like, Jag, I want to work with you. I just don't trust that you're not going to go back to them. And I think at least Corey is seeing that that has happened in the past, and not, he at least kept that memory of when that has happened.
Mm-hmm. And believe me, I have plenty of criticisms of Corey even throughout this day. I just think that this is not the criticism to have. Obviously, Corey has a better read on Jag than anybody who thought he shouldn't tell anybody about this does. America told Corey that she talked with Jag more last night. She says Jag wants to work with us, but he's worried about you because he thinks that you're tight with Cam, because that side is telling him that any information they give to you leaks to Cam. And this, for the first time, seems to have actually got into Corey's head. And he's like, whoa. Yeah. That's not good. Are they really saying that? And so he's starting to kind of freak out a little bit. He's like, I got to be more active today, I guess. And he certainly should have been. He goes to Izzy and he's like, so I'm hearing that it's being said that I'm a rat for Cam. Like, is who's saying this? Felicia? And this is part of what continues to set him off against Felicia. But Izzy says, oh, I don't know. I've never heard that myself. Never heard that in my life. Corey seems still upset, but eventually, I guess, buys into that idea and thinks it's probably just Felicia. He's going to talk with America more about how they need to be like distancing themselves, trash talking each other throughout the day, which I guess really stresses people out because they don't like it when this happens. They very much agreed. We're going to talk about how we don't trust each other. We're going to throw each other under the bus. We're going to try and make sure that we are as separate as possible. So they go and they do that throughout the day. Now, I think this is dumb, personally. I think this is a terrible idea. I think this is, again, Corey just not understanding how to play as a showmance. Mm-hmm. And also Corey's, that this like fundamental flaw of Corey that like he, A, assumes everyone is self-interested. B, assumes everyone sees things in the same way that he does. And so he feels like nobody would ever believe it if I said, if I just said, like, I've got America, but don't worry, I'll cut her. He thinks he needs to like have, like acknowledge like all of the little things that surely people will pick up on, and that he needs to come up with this very elaborate story about how he can't have America around for a certain amount of time because I'll need to cut her at this particular certain amount of time. And he needs to be like constantly talking about all of the mistakes that she's making and how that's part of why he thinks that he can't work with her long term, and so on and so forth. When literally people are dumb, Corey, all you need to do is say, yeah, you know, I'm with America, but at some point she's got to go. And people buy it all the time. They shouldn't, mm-hmm. but they do. And you need to recognize who you're playing with. And you are playing with people that would buy it because that's what Jared is doing. And they're buying it with him.
Yeah. I never thought I'd say it, but Corey, you need to take a leaf out of Jared's book on this one. Like, you really do. And it's not just that, but also like the point of having the showmance. Like, I think Corey's fixated on this idea of like, well, we can't have me and America go up against each other. So if they think we're separate, maybe they won't put us up together. Because then the reason to put someone up together is because you don't want them to use the veto on the other person. But if they think we're separate, then maybe they wouldn't be worried about that. Kind of regardless, like, they're probably still going to put you up together. But that's actually, like, that's the benefit, is that then you pull out all of those negatives about America and maybe she goes home over you. Like, I know that's still not, like, that's not the ideal situation. But, like, or they don't put either of you up because they know that you're close if they're with you.
Yeah, and, like, he's trying to avoid the scenario where he goes up next to her because he's trying to convince them that that he wouldn't use the veto on her if he were to be off the block. But the thing is, like, if it ever actually comes down to that, nobody's going to take the risk anyway.
Right.
Like, it's just not worth it. And it gives him no credibility to speak on America. It makes it seem like he has no influence over America, that she's constantly doing all of these things.
It's like, oh, if he won't even protect his showmance, who would he protect?
Right. And then, yeah, he's cuddling with her later. It's just, this is not the play. This is not the play. Corey does talk to Cameron about, after he was nominated, about like what he thinks is going on. Cameron says he thinks that Red is the target. And he's completely bought in. And Corey talks about how Red is the target because people don't like how he's treating America. Cameron's like, whoa, what do you mean? And Corey alludes to Red, like, really being ridiculous about America. And he's like, I'm not gonna lie, I don't like how he treats America. Cameron takes the well-trodden approach of, oh, wow, I didn't know it was that bad. I didn't know that was happening, even though, I was in the conversations privately with him about it all the time, and definitely heard all of these things. I didn't know it was like that. Can't believe Red would do that. And he's later gonna go to America and be like, sorry about the Red stuff. I didn't know what he was doing and saying and stuff. So that's bad stuff.
Don't you think if they know about the Red stuff, they might also know about the you stuff, Cameron?
Well, he hasn't done anything wrong.
Right, right. And, you know, the feed's cut, so we don't know actually for sure anything.
Yeah. So that's basically what's going on with Corey in America through the day. And that's pretty much like what is happening. That's kind of the picture of the house. We have these big plot lines throughout the day. We'll see where things go from here. I know that right now there's apparently a heated argument between Corey and Jared about,
oh, Corey's going off. Yeah.
America going on the block as the replacement. And Corey's trying to prevent that from happening. But seemingly has no credibility because he's been trash talking America way too much. And you'd think Corey, of all people, would know this is not the play, considering we literally just watched Kyle and he had to do so much work to make up for him trying the same strategy of trash talking Alyssa and then having to backtrack it all and then getting into so much trouble, having to make these huge aggressive moves in order to overcorrect everything. And it did end up working in the short term. But dude, we just watched how, and we talked endlessly on the podcast about what a mistake it was for Kyle to do that. But again, I think Corey really just never thought he would be in a showmance.
I know, like, if you had to give advice to someone who never would picture themselves being in a showmance, who finds themselves in a showmance, like, what is the strategy to play that?
I think that you have to, if you're a player that goes in, you think you're very prepared for a lot of things, you find yourself in a completely new situation that you never thought you would be in, you have to drop what you thought you knew. You have to stop trying to fit the pieces that you thought you were going to play with into this new puzzle that doesn't exist, or into a puzzle that doesn't exist, a different puzzle. You need to just go with the flow and just accept, like, this is who I am in this game, and I need to just, like, play as naturally as this comes to me. Because if you're like, I really want to play this way, but I find myself in a showmance in this completely different situation, so how do I fit this new situation into the plan that I wanted to play? That's where you're going to get into a lot of trouble. You need to be able to adapt to wherever you end up fitting into the game. And to Taylor in the chat, it's pretty, because Taylor was a master of this. I mean, Taylor goes into the house thinking she's going to play one way, ends up in a completely different situation, adapts to it, and finds a way to play the game that was put in front of her. And that's how you need to handle a situation like that. And then maybe you can come away the winner if you do. I think this is the issue that Corey is facing. One of the issues that Corey is facing here.
Oh, poor Corey.
So once again, we're going to leave, I guess, on a cliffhanger for this Corey situation. the previous one turned out to be a whole big nothing burger. But this one seems a little more intense. So I will be back tomorrow morning to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 25 live feeds, including the veto results. This veto competition could be extremely important for a lot of different reasons. And do not count out the fact that America could be going home this week, or even Corey, if this argument goes a certain way, or even Jag, if he keeps doing the vote interrogation stuff. There's so many options for how
Bowie
this could play out.
Is still a potential replacement nominee. Would they ever send Bowie home over Red? Who knows? Maybe.
It's definitely possible.
Yeah. You know? Taryn, this was really fun. Do you think we should do our secret handshake now?
Okay, sure.
Ready? And...
ready? anything else you want to talk about?
No, this is good. This is a good time. It was fun. You know what? Fun feeds. Just wild.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you today then. Thank you all so much for joining us. Again, I'll be back tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, to update you on what happens today with this veto, with the replacement nominee plans, with this Corey in America stuff, with the Jag situation. There's a lot to keep up with today. So I'll be back tomorrow to do all of that. Of course, tomorrow we'll also have another episode where I will be watching live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. And then we'll have a podcast after that. Check out the merch store that I launched. If you want a pressure cooker shirt, or you want to protest against Big Brother Canada, buy a Need Feeds shirt, because feeds are important. Mm-hmm. And all kinds of other fun stuff over there. That's what I got. Mary, what do you got going on?
I've got the ultimatum season two just wrapped up. So you can check out the finale podcast that myself, Asia, and Mari put out on that. And pretty soon we'll be talking about Love is Blind season four after the altar special. So it never stops stopping when it comes to the Love at First Sight feed. So check that out. And otherwise, you can follow me at Frail Mary and see any other updates.
All right. Well, that's what I've got for all of you. Thank you all so much for joining us here today. And I will see you all.